saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. So the gospel is Christ crucified in the tomb 3 days, raised on the third day, and ascended into heaven. And repent ye and believe the gospel. So if you repent of your sinful condition, you acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ, you believe the gospel, and you're saved. Right? There's more to soteriology, but the essence is that it is repentance, belief, and confession. We put faith in Christ. So Jesus clearly teaches a non-work salvation message to Peter. God reveals the truth to the heart. The man receives or rejects that truth in heart. The man confesses with his mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. One of the things that, as I was reading back through Matthew, sorry, I lost my place. As I was reading back through that passage, Matthew 16, 13 through 18, one of the things I hadn't really thought about before, when God kind of revealed it to me, is there was an element there that I was missing. Peter had to accept the truth. He had to receive. Once God revealed that to him, he had to receive or reject. When you share the gospel with someone, one of two things are going to happen. They're going to receive it, or they're going to reject it. Right? So even as we share these things with people, even as we go through, if we go through these five questions and we use that as kind of a starting point, if someone's in a false doctrine, like a Jehovah's Witness, or Mormons, or Catholic, or whatever, as we work through these things, they're either going to receive it or they're going to reject it. There's nothing we can do about that. All we can do is share the truth. God can reveal the truth, draw them with his spirit, but they can reject it. Or they'll receive it. So Jesus clearly teaches a non-work salvation here to Peter, and Peter receives it in heart, and he confesses it with his mouth. Romans 10:10 says,
with
the mouth, confession is made. Right here, we see Peter take these steps. Now, did Peter get saved right there? No, Peter was already saved.
Yeah.
The point is what we're seeing is the demonstration of the steps of salvation. He's teaching Peter something. He's teaching Peter that God has revealed this truth to you. And upon this, I will build my church. So we know that the church is not built with stone and wood. The church is built with flesh. Well, not with flesh, but with a fleshly heart. God says, I'll give you a fleshly heart. The church is built by born-again believers. Christians beget Christians. Christ beget Christians. Christians beget Christians. Churches beget churches. So as we work through this, we understand that no man can claim to have started the church except Jesus Christ, because it is born not from a historical moment, although there is record of that. The church is born in salvation. It's rooted in Christ. So, according to the following verses, what should be the defining doctrine of a true church is the absolute authority of Scripture, and Scripture is is of no private interpretation. So what that means is doctrine is not that we take the scripture and interpret it to mean what we say it means. What it means is, so we take scripture and interpret scripture with scripture, spiritual things with spiritual things. The church perpetuity, the unbroken chain of Jesus' doctrine, has continued to this day. Through this, the church has never ceased. Although churches do, or they lose their candlestick. So what we're getting at here is, Christ started the church. He originated the church. He has all authority in heaven and earth. He's given his word. We maintain the doctrines of Christ. Through the centuries, we've never seen that broken. Now, they claim that in the Dark Ages, the church went out of existence. That's not true. Because if there were no believers through the Dark Ages, how did we get here? So as long as there were believers of the gospel, there's always been a church. So if you're going to say Mormons, Joseph Smith claims that an angel gave him, led him to some tablets, that there was parts of the scripture that was lost. And so what's the Bible say about if we or any angel preach any other doctrine, let him be accursed. Understanding that Christ is the sole authority of the church and the maintaining of his doctrine throughout the ages is the only way that you can truly have a New Testament church. When you start dealing with people from other faiths, other denominational backgrounds, if you ask them, who started your church? Who started your denomination? They'll always go back to a man. Catholics will go to Peter. Mormons go to Joseph Smith. Yeah, thank you. Jehovah's Witness will go to this one of them. There's the different sects of Jehovah's Witness will always identify, you know, where they split off. So when you go to there and you ask them this question, under what authority did they make these changes? What authority did they interpret these scriptures? Because the Bible clearly says that if any man preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. So, you don't have to understand every doctrine they have. All you have to understand is that if it's not founded and rooted in Christ, if it's not founded and rooted in the doctrine of salvation by grace through faith, not of works, it's not faith and works, it's just faith. Take them back to where Christ taught Peter that the church was built upon the rock of God revealing Christ as the Messiah. Peter recognizing that truth in his heart and confessing it with his mouth. If your church isn't built upon that doctrine, you're not in a true church.
Say, but the question that you asked was, how can that help in soul winning? And I think when you look at that, you can go back to Catholic doctrine, Catholic doctrine, and they actually go back, you say Peter, they kind of do, it's more Augustinian theology. So, and even with the Mormons, it's not really Joseph Smith, it's the prophet Moroni. When you look at these, you look at who they go back to I don't mind Protestantism looking back to Luther and Zwingli as key men in their denomination. My problem is that when you start talking to them about the Bible, they always go back to the interpretation of Calvin, the interpretation of Zwingli, and of Huss in these different ones. And so like the guy I talked to as we were talking through doctrine, he said, every doctrine in the Bible that I see it through the eyes of Calvinism. So this is where you'll actually be helped in witnessing. It's not a problem that these different people identify men. We identify men. We look back and we say, hey, look at the great accomplishments, you know, of Samuel Harris and these different ones and what they did. That's not the problem. It's when you start talking doctrine and they start revealing what this man said about it. And by the way, that's why I don't go to commentaries very often, because I want to know what Jesus has to say before I go to what a man has to say. And so, that to me, that's how you use this in witnessing. You're not going to be able to say, ah, see there, Lutheranism started by Luther. Well, that's going to be an argument that anybody with half a brain can totally refute and put you in a corner weeping. That where you're really going to identify this, what you're talking about is, when you start talking doctrine, like soteriology, the doctrine of deliverance, doctrine of salvation, you start talking salvation, and then they start giving you what Calvin said. And you say, okay, that's fine. Let's go to the scriptures. And then you read it, and they say, well, I see what it kind of says, but this is what Calvin said about it. That's their source of truth is Calvin's interpretation.
Right.
Where the true Bible believer's source of truth is always no private interpretation, by the Word of God as the Holy Spirit leads.
Right.
I think that is where you'll see this the most. Whether you're talking to a Catholic, Jehovah's Witness is going to take you back to their reasoning with scriptures. It's a book that's been written by their organization, and they learn how to answer you. They don't know. They just learn how to answer you based on some book. They don't have a clue what Jesus is saying in the scriptures. And I think that's what makes a Baptist a Baptist. Not because we can look back and we started to be called Anabaptists and all that, you know, in the 16th century. It's because we just take them back to the scripture. Let me show you what the Bible says. Let me show you what the Bible says. We're not saying, hey, let me show you, you know, what some man said. We're saying, hey, let me show you what the Bible says.
Right. So, and I think that you really cleared up the point I was hoping to make is it's the authority of Jesus Christ, not the authority of someone else. Mm-hmm. Paul carried no authority of his own. Peter carried no authority of his own. The authority was given by the author of that authority. It's the same as when my wife signs my paycheck. She does not have any authority in my to really just sign my paycheck. She's representing my authority in signing my paycheck. She's representing me. Because I'm John Haley. She's not John Haley. Right? Brother?
And kind of just following up on that, like especially where the five questions go, like where the authority of the church lies and where they get their doctrines and what their church is based on, you especially see how important those are when you deal with cults that where their church or their organization is the end all and be all, like the Catholic Church or the Amish or, you know, things like that's why you have different sects of them, because they make up their own rules. If you don't follow our rules, then you're excommunicated, you're out.
Right.
Or if you have, you know, where do your rules come from? Is it because your council decided on these things? And that's why they're inconsistent? That's why they're just, it seems like a lot of the rules are just arbitrary, especially when you have, like the Catholic Church is one large organization. Like when you have the Amish and things like that, it can vary community to community. Like these are the rules. If you don't follow them, you're out. Like, why are there different rules for like different areas and stuff like that? It's because the authority isn't with Jesus Christ, it's with, you know, it's with the elders. It's the authority isn't, the rules aren't based on the Bible, the truth. They're based on whatever they feel is right in their heart at the time when they made the rules.
Well, and to that point, all of that denies the priesthood of the believer.
It's all about your relationship with the organization, not your relationship with Christ.
Jesus Christ.
But here's the problem. As a church and our members, we have the opportunity to make rules that work for us. And that's what they go back to. Obey them, and another rule over you, and that washed your souls, that they must give an account. And this becomes the issue. And that's making some standards of rule that follows the scripture is not the problem. That is that elder rule. But where it becomes a problem is where they make a rule that directly violates scripture. Like with the Jehovah's Witness, who denied the doctrine of hell. He sought a religion based on his not wanting to believe in hell. And so the devil gave it to him. Right. He had a prophet, Moroni. And so when you go back to them on that doctrine, it's not, I mean, a Jehovah's Witness who goes out, door knock and all that, I don't have a problem with that. That they can do that and all that. And it is a rule for them. But the issue comes where the only way you're going to really use this in soul winning is, here's a doctrine, hell. This is what Jesus teaches. He mentions hell more than he does heaven in the scripture. He mentions it as literal. Your religion says there is no hell. They spiritualize it away. Who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe this man, or are you going to believe Jesus Christ? And when you go to, the difficulty isn't so much with the JWs, it is with Protestantism. How do you use that with Protestantism? Because Protestantism, I'll tell you, the one place you're really going to deal with them on in their Augustinian theology is in the area of once saved, always saved. It's the eternal security side. Because they may, some do, some don't, baptize babies, some don't. You know, Lutherans typically don't. They baptize upon profession, and when you're an adult. So how do you deal with that? You're going to see it with them, with you can lose your salvation. And they'll say they believe in that, and then as you corner them on it, they don't. They reject it, because Augustine rejected it. And so that's where it gets sticky. You're going to have to find some doctrine like that that you know about that you can help them see. You're really following a man-made religion, not the scripture in total.
Well, even for the lay person, because I'll be honest with you, elements of what, you know, I read up on Augustine, but there's, I'm not a authoritative source on anything, really. But are we arguing with them? No. We let the Word of God do the argument. And so for like me, the layperson, if I get in that conversation where they're starting to talk about, you know, the doctrine of hell or eternal security, go to the scriptures. Because there's the power. You know, if I try to argue with them in my flesh and my pride, I'm going to lose every time. I've done it. But if we go to the scripture and just let the scripture speak for itself, then now we're in that place where the Word of God, the Spirit of God, is going to reveal truth to them. They're going to hear truth. They're either going to accept it or reject it. I mean, isn't that what every one of us has experienced, this born again? You heard the truth. Most of us probably in this room were probably brought up in church and knew the Bible forward and backwards. But who, okay, Sister Erica, do you mind if I use you for a second? Okay. You're brought up in Catholic church, right? Did you really know the Bible all that much?
No.
Okay. So when someone shared the scripture with you, was it new?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of first time you'd ever heard the gospel? So you really didn't like understand everything that was in this book, right?
Right.
But the power of that word, the Spirit, led you to understand that was truth, didn't it? And you went through an experience of, do I accept it or do I reject it? And part of you wanted to reject it, didn't it?
Just because we were raised Catholic,
right.
And this is how it's always been, and these are the rules that we follow.
But so then you got faced with a decision. So we're not arguing. I'm not arguing with you. You're arguing with God.
When I did the homework, I'm just going to read what I put because it kind of goes with that. These 5 points help me to understand the foundation of my faith and the doctrines of a true church. Regardless of the teachings a person has had or believed to be true, if they do believe that the Bible is the true word of God, then I'll be able to lead them to scripture to prove the truth of salvation. I go back to, I say all that to say, when I started writing, I'm like, okay, but what do I do when they don't believe that the Word of God is the true, you know, the Bible is the true Word of God? Like, I had a gal that used to come to my church, I mean, my house, a Jehovah's Witness, adored her, sweetest old lady. I mean, she'd come in and we'd visit, and she'd take me to her, and I'd bring out, and at the time I had an NIV, you know, and I'd bring it, I'm like, I don't know my Bible well enough, but I know in my Bible that don't say that. So I would look it up, and she's like, yeah, but look here. And of course, she knew her little book better than I knew my Bible, and she could take me to all her scriptures. So of course, I had nothing to stand on then because I had no knowledge of the true Word. But you and Pastor talk over my head a lot of times with the words y'all use, and I'm very simple-minded, and you know, all these, sometimes I have to leave church and go, what does that word mean? And find out, what do you mean by this, you know? So, but for me to sit down and talk to somebody, and if they don't believe that the Bible is a true Word of God, that's where I'll get completely stuck. And I think of my children, you know, and because, you know, like Christian will, well, Mom, what makes the Bible, and she ain't asked me this, but I can hear it coming, see it coming, you know, what makes the Bible, that makes that to be true? You know, why do you believe that the Bible is that? Why can't, you know, because Ben has a Mormon background, sort of. So I don't know what she's been influenced there. I guess my question is, what if they just look at you and say, well, this is the book I go by, and they don't even want to hear the scripture? You just say, okay, they want to be ignorant? Let a man be ignorant?
Let him be ignorant.
You just plant that seed and let...
Yeah.
let it work.
Brother, we just have a minute.
Oh,
a couple of years ago, I ran into an interesting situation. I was witnessing to a fellow, started talking to him about the Lord and like that. And he asked me a question. He said, well, I came out of a different church background, one of the Protestant denominations. And he said, now my wife's looking into these churches. And he said, there was some Catholicism in their background, all kinds of things. But he said, he asked me this question. He said, you know, I've gone to these different churches. This one was an engineer, so by training. So he was used to looking at things and analyzing. He said, every church I go to, they believe something different. The Black Baptists believe something, the Episcopalians believe something, you know, and he mentioned a lot of different churches. He said, and they all have their books that back up what they believe. He said, but they're all different. Now, how can they all prove what they believe is right, but they're all different, and they don't agree? And it really got me to thinking a lot about that, you know, and I ended up corresponding with him, and he was from Cincinnati, Florence, Kentucky, but it's interesting, and the class that we had in FBI on worldview, you know, I began to realize everybody has a religion, everybody you talk to out there, and the thing that makes it so difficult nowadays is that our words don't mean the same things. You talk to people and they'll say they agree with you. Oh, I believe this, I believe that. So when I talk to somebody like this fellow that really has questions and wants to know, the first thing I'll say is, what Bible do you use? What do you believe in? You've got to use the right Bible. And then, again, I say, you can go and look at everybody. We've got Baptist commentaries. You know, every denomination, every group has their commentaries and all that. But you've got to pray about it and search the scriptures, and the Holy Spirit will show you if whatever their doctrine they're saying conflicts. And that's the thing that brought me to being a Baptist. Because every other religion I checked out, in every denomination, I would always hit upon a question, and sooner or later I'd ask them and they couldn't tell me, or it conflicted with something in the Bible. And I thought, no, that can't be.
Right.
And so I made people mad all along the way because they kept saying to me, why don't you shut up and stop asking questions? Just believe what we teach.
Well, that's a good sign.
I said, I want to know. It doesn't make sense according to the scriptures, you know? So you just got to keep asking questions.
But what about her question? Yeah, what do you do when someone doesn't believe the Bible?
Well, then you tell them you haven't got any foundation.
So what I would tell them is, if you believe in God, if he's not God, if he can't communicate with us. So he's communicating with us somehow. it is absolutely verified and understandable that through the Masoretic text, the Old Testament text that's kept by the Jews, that's totally agreed. That gets us all the way up to zero. So I just tell them, if this really interests you, you need to find out what book God's speaking through. And whatever it is today is what he has been. Right. So connect the dots. But you're going to have to make it. You're going to have to be interested in hearing God speak. And he can't speak to you unless you're using the right communicative tool. It is the Word of God. And you need to do your research. Yeah.
Well, and just real quick, and then we got to close. The Ethiopian eunuch. He's sitting there looking at a Bible. He's got no idea what he's looking at, but he wants to know. And there it is. I mean,
most people just use that as an excuse. Yeah.
What's that?
Most people just throw out an excuse where I don't. How do we know?
Right.
They need to take an interest.
And there it is. I mean, you're not going to pull somebody out of the Jehovah's Witness that doesn't want to come out of Jehovah's
right.
Witness. You're not going to pull a Mormon out that doesn't want to come out of Mormonism. You're not going to pull out a Catholic that doesn't want to come out of the Catholic. You're not going to do it. The only way any of this works is if that person sees an error and wants to escape. So don't go take these five questions and try to go convert the Catholic Church. Just be ready when you come across someone that's in error to help them. Does that make sense? Real quickly, we got close.
So I'll say a lot of religions that do have, like, alternative books like the Mormons and things like that. They do the same things that the Muslims do. They'll have a bunch of conflicting scriptures, but they'll say, oh, the last one written is the one that applies.
Right.
Yeah.
But then you have, you know, supposedly Christian groups. Like, they don't want to know what the Bible says because they have these newer ones. Like, well, wait, hold on. Is what you believe based on the Bible? If not, you should care what God taught, because God changes not. He doesn't just keep changing rules.
Right.
And people will try to, you know, say, oh, you can't play football because pink skin, whatever. It's like, you know, he had specific rules for specific people at a time, and he didn't just flip and change his mind. He fulfilled that law.
Right.
And now we have, you know, the New Testament, things like that. But God doesn't just change his mind. You go to the last thing he decided over the, you know, the decades or
right.
2 years or whatever. So they should care what the scriptures say, because God doesn't change.
Amen. Brother, would you go ahead and pray and dismiss us?
Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for our time together. And I pray you just continue to bless us this morning as we hear your word and focus on your word, Lord. And just know that since we're gathered together, you're here to mess with us, Lord. Help us just pay attention to your word and just stay alert, awake, and everything, Lord. And be able to just enjoy the fellowship together. And I pray you just help us to be better equipped to be able to witness and to be able to just have an answer for any minute that has to come up with the life of the Lord. And I pray you just continue to watch over us and bless us, Lord.
You have been listening to an audio message from McGregor Road Baptist Church. We are located on the southeast side of Indianapolis, Indiana. To learn more about our church, visit www.actonschurch.com. You can also call us at 317-862-3414. Thank you for listening, and may God richly bless you as you seek to grow in the Lord.